I be playing.
Hello and welcome again to Skybox here on 90.7 The Capstone. I'm Mark Mayfield, editorial advisor and associate director of the Office of Student Media here at UA. And with me are co-hosts Dr. George Brown, executive director of University Recreation, and Dr. Adam Sterrett, assistant vice president for student affairs. It's the fourth week of the college football season, and unfortunately for all of us who follow the Crimson Tide, there's already been a big shakeup in the rankings following Alabama's loss to Ole Miss last Saturday. But the season's still young, and we've got a big day of college football ahead of us today, including Alabama's game with Louisiana Monroe at Bryant-Denny Stadium this afternoon. We're happy to have with us today a couple of guests, including Mark Burnett, the Alabama football beat writer for the Anniston Star and the Columbus Ledger Inquirer, and Kim Sterrett, Associate Director of Housing Administration here at the university, and, as George and I suspect, the real reason her husband Adam won our Fearless Picks contest for 2 weeks in a row right now.
No doubt about it. The better half for sure. Right, Adam?
Well, better half, yes. The picks, that's a conspiracy theory that is yet to be proven. It's a long season, so we'll see how it goes this week.
All right.
Head-to-head this week.
All right. Looking forward to talking to Kim here a little bit later. And we'll break down what happened at Bryant-Denny Stadium last Saturday and what Bama fans can expect going forward with Mark Burnett, as I said, beat writer for the Anniston Star and really one of the best reporters covering the Crimson Tide right now. So, George, what's it look like out there today?
Well, you know, you mentioned the fact that we have a shakeup. And, guys, I'm not going to go out on too big a limb here, but I think we're going to have a lot more shakeups before this is all said and done. I really feel like we are just at the beginning of teams losing games, and I think this is the year of parity more than anything else. And I think week four, we're going to see more of it. We've got a slate of games this week. Quite frankly, I think there's probably five or six games that we're looking at today and tonight that, quite frankly, are true pick-ems. I know the lines vary from even to perhaps a point and a half, 3.5, 4 points. But at the end of the day, you know, BYU, Michigan, Florida, Tennessee, Mississippi State, Auburn, very intriguing game. And, of course, tonight out west, UCLA, Arizona. I don't know. I think there's going to be more shakeups. Buckle up, as Avery Johnson would say. I think we're going to see a lot more of this. Adam?
I agree. You said it. There's big games in the Pac-12 later tonight. There's big games in the SEC, both East and West. And it's hard to imagine at this point anybody coming out of either of those leagues without at least one loss, if not two, coming out of a championship game. So I think it'll be another week of shakeups in the top 25, especially the top 5 and 10, will be very different next week, and we'll keep on changing from week to week.
Yeah, you know, a lot of interesting games today. Not big blockbusters, I guess, as we were talking about earlier, but some really important games. That Mississippi State at Auburn game is going to be really interesting, probably more so for Auburn than Mississippi State. Auburn really had a horrible game last week, and we'll talk about that here in a while. But that's going to be one of the more interesting ones to me going forward. Tennessee, Florida. You know, major game for the coaches at both of those teams.
That's a huge game in the East. Yeah. I mean, you've got Tennessee. Neither one of them have a loss in the SEC. So I think, you know, while Georgia is the favorite, and I think everybody gets that, and we're poised to get to Georgia next week, I really do believe this Tennessee-Florida game is going to set the table for the East moving forward.
And Georgia's prone to lay an egg here in the last few seasons, mid-late season. So if that happens again, then Tennessee or Florida can get back into the mix. We talked about this morning, George, that, you know, if you think about Florida right now, you think they've got one or two losses at least, right? And they're 3-0. Yeah. They're sitting there without a loss right now, which is very surprising. And Tennessee doesn't have a loss in conference yet, right?
So my question to both of you guys, knowing the Tennessee-Florida game is the – I think it is the CBS marquee game this afternoon – is there still the mystique that the Swamp means you're going to be the favorite? I don't think it is. I think Tennessee comes in here. I'm going to go ahead and divulge one of my picks. I think Tennessee wins on the road this week.
Yeah, I don't think the Swamp means what it used to, certainly. They've lost a lot of big and small games in the Swamp and struggled with far inferior opponents in the Swamp, so I certainly don't think it means anything anymore.
Yeah, I think last week it was a perfect example when, you know, I picked Kentucky to beat Florida, one of my many missed picks of the week, as we'll discuss later. But you know what? The fact that, you know, it's a toss-up between Florida and Kentucky, you know.
Yeah, what was it, 14-9?
Yeah, so it tells you really how far Florida's program is down right now. And the fact that they'll be home against Tennessee, I don't think, yeah, I don't know that that's going to matter at all. The Swamp's not very intimidating to anybody right now.
Who is Shaun White, and why should we care? Does he lead them out of the Auburn abyss? I mean, I think Auburn is going to pick themselves up off the mat, and I think they're going to have a good showing. I really do. But I think this is a very important game, not just for Auburn, but I think this is a defining game for the Bulldogs.
Well, and a lot of times it's easy to rally behind the new quarterback for a week or two. It's not easy to rally behind him for 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 weeks down the road. So I think the test will be 3 or 4 weeks from now, is Auburn still playing well? Because I agree with you. I think they'll put on a good showing this week. I don't know that it'll be good enough to beat Mississippi State, but I think they'll throw together certainly a better offensive plan than they have the last few weeks. But that's not hard to do. I mean, they have to throw the ball to their own team and score some points, essentially, to be an improvement over the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, right now they're just
– the bar is low.
Yeah, the bar is really low for them right now. Mm-hmm. And when you compare that to the expectations this year,
right.
I mean, a lot of people had them picked in the Final Four this year.
Yeah.
I mean, that's staggering to believe now, considering what they've looked like, you know, in the beginning of
the season.
They've
been bad on defense, too. Muschamp's defense has not been there. The offense has not been there. So they really haven't been doing anything right.
No, and it does remind me, Muschamp's offense has to have a good quarterback. I mean, it doesn't run without that, obviously. And you could say that about a lot of teams. But in a spread offense and a fast-paced offense and in the kind of offense that Muschamp runs – or not Muschamp, but
Malzahn.
Yeah, the two M's there that Malzahn runs. I think that, you know, they've got big problems offensively because of that. And Shaun White, yeah, it's going to be interesting to see – who he is and what he can do. I do know people who watched him in the spring game thought he didn't perform that well.
I know very little on him. Guys, I'm going to tell you one game that I'm intrigued by outside the SEC, and it's not going to get a lot of fanfare. It probably in the Big 12 is important. It's the Oklahoma State Cowboys going to Austin. I am really – it's like watching a train wreck with Texas. I want to know what they're doing, and I think they're coming around – and here they go, lo and behold, they play Cal really tough at home, and they lose on an extra point.
Yeah.
So what is it with this game? I don't know, but I'm intrigued by this one.
Yeah, I agree. I think you can respond one of two ways from that kind of loss at with Cal, and one of the ways is to just go deeper, because what are they, 0-3 at this point? Texas,
yeah.
Right?
No, they got to win over Rice.
Rice. So 1-2, and so 1-3 with a loss to Okie State, that's a tough early season to recover from.
Yeah, and Charlie Strong has got to be under serious pressure. That program is huge and at Texas, and if you don't win there – and you know, he created a lot of sort of animosity last year with the discipline and getting rid of players, which I applauded him for.
Yeah.
That's part of his thing, but it hasn't worked out for him so far.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting.
What about just down the street here at Bryant-Denny? Do we see an inspired team that's angry and comes out, or what do you think, guys? Alabama and UL Monroe.
I think that's too deep for this early in the show, quite frankly. I think the wounds are still too too new, George. I think we need to wait till a future segment
talk
about it. Right. That's a teaser right there, George.
Yeah,
we'll have to get into that a little later.
We'll break that down with Mark Burnett here in a while. I tell you one thing, it was the latest night I've had in quite a while.
It's true. It's very true.
It was a late night
it
game.
It was a long, long night.
Yeah.
In Bryant-Denny. Yeah. And I think, you know, wrapping up the SEC, but the big games, Missouri-Kentucky. Again, this whole East intrigue is amazing to me. I think, you know, we'll be picking this game in a little bit, but Kentucky for real? Can Missouri move the ball, Matty Mauk or not? I don't know.
Yeah, it's another interesting one kind of in the middle, right? It's not a marquee matchup by any stretch of the imagination, but it's going to matter, especially in the East this year.
Yeah, it is, and it's a tough one to pick, you know? It's one of those games that's not a major game at all nationally, but it's a tough one in the SEC, so it's gonna move the ball forward a little
bit. You're going to have to be fearless
in
that pick, right, Jim?
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's take a quick break here, and we'll be right back with our guest picker, Kim Sterrett.
Hi, this is Eli Gold, the voice of the Crimson Tide, and I love 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. It's a special pleasure to have with us today Kim Sterrett, Associate Director of the University of Alabama's Housing Administration, and as we alluded to earlier, Adam Sterrett's decidedly better half. You know, Kim, and welcome, by the way. You've got great pedigree here. You come from appointments at Ohio State, Florida State, and Georgia Tech, all current or recent top 10 programs. So we're lucky to have you here.
I choose well. I'm not going to say that it's as a result of my participation in those academic institutions, but I will say that it's been it makes for a fun fall season.
I'm going to put you on the spot early. You got a favorite among those three? Who above all else do you root for?
I was a Buckeye before I was anything else, and so I think that I go back to my roots in that regard, and know that if I want to ever go home, that's really where my allegiance needs to be founded. So
well, you're running with a winner right now.
I'm quietly a Buckeye on this campus, but I do bleed scarlet and gray.
Good deal. Well, we're going to jump right in with one of Ohio State's favorite teams in the Big House, Michigan, hosting the BYU Cougars. That's an intriguing matchup. Who do you like?
It is. That is the question. Who do I like? And, you know, it's a tough one. I have not picked this game because I can't get myself to highlight either team on my page. We don't talk about that team up north. We don't list them as a name. And it's really going to come down to, does home field advantage mean anything in the Big House anymore? And I think that BYU has a little magic on their side. So I'm going to go with BYU. And if I ever have a chance to pick against that team up north, I'm going to likely do so. And I will be cheering my hardest for BYU this week.
Here's another one with ties to you. Your Yellow Jackets, Georgia Tech, traveling over to Durham to play the Duke Blue Devils. What do you think?
I think last week was a missed opportunity against Notre Dame, and I think they know it and they identify it, and so I think they'll come out and be more efficient as a team. I think Duke will give them a game, but I think that they just simply ran out of time last week to beat Notre Dame, and I think they'll be more efficient as a result.
Central Florida traveling to the head ball coach's territory, 11 a.m. kickoff just right after our show here, Central Florida and South Carolina. What do you think?
Oh, UCF is in some dire straits right now, so I think South Carolina has their number this week.
Yeah.
Probably one of the ugliest games of the week, right?
It could be. Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, we put that on the 10 board here, and I agree with you. I think we kind of move on. All right, now, Kim, you got to explain your logic here. This is your pick. Mark, I mean, we're over here. We're trying to do all kinds of press releases.
Kim, knowing you were going to choose this game, you sent me to Google like crazy trying to figure this out. So, yeah, let us know about this game. Butler versus Campbell.
It's the Campbell Camels at Butler this week. We have dear friends and family who are affiliated with Campbell University in Buies Creek, North Carolina. So we want to give a shout out to the Camels, one of the better mascots in college athletics. And
the Fighting Camels.
The Fighting Camels.
They don't go thirsty, do they?
No. Oh, yeah. No. Very funny. But it was a fun pick. The other schools with whom I am affiliated are not really showing up for, well, hopefully they'll show up for their games or their bye week. But I thought this one would be a fun one. I am unfortunately going to pick Butler. Oof. I think they are a better team. They are also home. But Campbell has good things coming. They've won 2 home games this year so far. So, and if it was at home, I might pick differently. But going to Indianapolis, I'm going the Butler route.
And I'm watching Mark and Adam filling in their bracket right now. They're going with Butler, right as Kim said that. Yeah. Let the record reflect, I had minority.
She's totally got the intel.
That's a fearless pick. She's going with the team and the intel, not the family picks.
Yeah.
That is fearless.
That's the name of the game.
There we go.
Tennessee and Florida, Kim.
You know, this is a classic, can both teams lose? Is that possible for both
teams? Lots of ugly orange.
Right. And unfortunately, it's not. I agree with you all in that the Swamp has lost its luster and its advantage, so I'm going Tennessee.
Good call. All right. Alabama here. Any problems with Monroe?
I think they pull it together enough to come out with a win, but I think we will likely still be talking about areas for improvement come Monday.
I think that's an astute comment there. Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah. Hey, this is intriguing. Down in Lubbock, Texas Christian comes in with Texas Tech coming off a big win last week against Arkansas.
Yeah, I went back and forth on this one. And, you know, it's kind of your head versus your heart kind of thing. I think TCU is going to pull it out, but I am excited to watch. I think it'll be a good game.
I think that's a good pick.
Yeah, lots of points.
I think, yeah.
Right? Lots of
track
points.
A&M into Arky. Should Arkansas stop playing games at home, guys? I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Kim?
A&M, to their own credit, they look solid. Mm-hmm. They look really solid. So I'm going A&M at Arkansas, and anything to make Brett sad. Makes works for me.
There we go. I think Brett needs to just put a clamp on it right now.
Yep.
Okay, down on the plains, big game. We've talked about it a little bit earlier. Mississippi State at Auburn. What's your thoughts on this one?
My wishful thinking may have gotten the best of me on this pick, but I'm going Mississippi State. I'm going to ring my cowbell for them, and hopefully they will get it done, and Auburn's magic and luck will subside for the week.
Is that a fearless pick, Adam?
That's relatively fearless. She went with a cowbell, and so I think that's a bold statement.
I'd say that, yeah, it is a bold statement, although it's also a statement about Auburn, I think.
That's true.
But, yeah, it's at Auburn, so that's a fearless pick in my book.
It's close to a pick 'em as it is right now, so yeah. I think that's impressive. Game day, ESPN game day, our good colleagues and friends over there are in the desert, UCLA and Arizona.
I have a clear East Coast, Midwest, Southeast bias, so I will start with that. But I've picked UCLA on this one. On the road at Arizona, and we'll go from there. We'll see what comes of it.
It's nice that these games are on at 7 o'clock, though, instead of at 11 o'clock,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So that's part of the reason of that bias.
I guess
that we never
that's
get
5
to see
o'clock out there.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. I don't know. I think that's a bold pick for UCLA coming off a really close game against Brigham Young last week.
Yep.
We've got Utah and Oregon a little bit later tonight on Fox. What do you think?
I'm going to Oregon. I think their speed will Utah looked impressive earlier this season, but I think Oregon will pull it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Utah got a win over your maize and blue hated rival, the boys that shall not be named from Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. Well, Kim, hey, look, great picks. I think these are sharp, and like I said, the guys are frantically scratching out their picks now to co-align with yours because we suspect that Adam's recent surge is attributable to you. So
I'll take credit.
Okay, mm-hmm. Good deal. Good. What's going on over in housing? Tell us some things that are happening over there that you're particularly excited about and projects that you're working on with Housing Administration.
We are delighted to have over 8,300 residents living with us and getting engaged and involved and hoping to have a successful year. We've got a great staff of RAs and FAs and community directors who are there to support students in becoming successful during that first year. So we're just getting it done over there, making sure people have a good place to live.
Since it is family weekend and all, Kim, why don't you tell them a little bit about your family business as it relates to college football?
My mother, roughly 30 years ago, started a business in her in our home making candy Buckeyes. So not only am I affiliated to the university through my degree and working there, but also my mom has made Candy Buckeyes, and it's now been passed on to my brothers who are operating that. So if you ever are in any Cracker Barrel across the country, you know that.
You're great. In Cracker Barrels.
We're in Cracker Barrels, along with many other grocery stores and other places that you can get them. But any Cracker Barrel that you're in that you see a Marsha's Homemade Buckeye, that is...
Marsha's Homemade Buckeyes.
Yep.
It's a candied version of the nut?
Yep.
Okay.
So it's a peanut butter ball dipped in chocolate. And you'll know it by the toothpick hole in the top.
That is awesome.
All right. Thanks a million for joining us, Kim. It's great to have you. And, again, we'll revisit your picks next week. And I got a feeling you're going to defeat not only Adam but George and I as well. So we'll see how that goes.
That's the hope.
Let's take another quick break, and we'll be right back with our second guest, Mark Burnett. You're listening to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, this is Will Gamble, and you listen to 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Mark Burnett, the Alabama football beat writer for the Anniston Star and the Columbus Ledger Inquirer, has joined us in the studio. Mark, it's great to have you here.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely. So, Mark, much like the rest of us probably, are you still recovering from Saturday's tough loss here at Bryant-Denny?
Much less, more recovering from how late the game was. I mean, the game...
Covering it so late. <right. laughs>
Yeah, the game started about 8:30, and I think that first quarter lasted an hour, and then the entire game was over 4 hours, and then we had to work after that. I didn't leave there until about 2:30 and then get home to about 3 a.m., so one of the later nights I've ever had in my career.
Yeah, that's rough. Rubbing salt in the wounds, you know, for a loss, getting home that late, that's tough. What were your initial thoughts after walking out of the stadium? On the Alabama team, and frankly, moving forward, it's still very, very early on the season.
Yeah, definitely. My thoughts were Alabama let one get away against Ole Miss again. I mean, that's 2 years in a row now that they've had an opportunity to, you know, beat Ole Miss, and they've let it slip away. Last year's game, you know, they got up, I think it was 14-3, and then sort of put the foot on cruise control, and then they let Ole Miss come back in the game. And this year, you know, they come out first kickoff of the game, shoot themselves in the foot with a turnover, you know, very uncharacteristic, fumbling on, you know, the kickoff return. And then that was the first of 5 turnovers right there. And you still think, you know, they were down 6 with 3 minutes to go, had a chance to, you know, go up and put together a drive, but boom, turnover, gives it right back to Ole Miss. And then, you know, the game's over at that point. I think they got it one more time with like 30 seconds to go, but by that time it was already over. You know, there were just a few last-ditch efforts, and the receivers couldn't catch the ball. But 2 years in a row, Alabama's dropped the ball against Ole Miss.
Well, and in very, very different fashions, like you just pointed out. So it's not like we lost the same type of game in the same type of way. We lost in a radically new and maybe a worse fashion, with turnovers and with, like you said, uncharacteristic play. So it was really, really quite ugly.
Yeah, going forward, I mean, there's a lot of discussion that continues to center around the quarterback and being the leader, game manager. We've heard that term in the past. What's your take, Mark? I mean, you've covered Alabama for several years, both as a student here and now beat writer in Anniston and Columbus. But what's your take? What's this team need in terms of identity?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, I think they still don't have an identity. You know, if you watch the Wisconsin game, they came out and they were clearly trying to establish Derrick Henry as sort of the feature part of the offense. And, you know, he comes out and has a big game, 3 touchdowns. And then that second game, they kind of sputter a little bit, but you sort of attribute that to more or less just wanting to get the quarterback some experience and getting them guys some more passing opportunities. So I think they treated that more as a scrimmage. You didn't want to get Henry or Kenyon Drake banged up in that second game against Middle Tennessee State. When they come out against Ole Miss, you know, you get behind and you're down 20 at one point in the third quarter, so you're obviously having to throw more to play catch up. But they abandoned the run, in my opinion, a little bit too early. Going back to that drive that I was talking about, that one where they had it with 3 minutes to go, you know, Coker comes out the first play of that drive. He scrambles for 26 yards. In the second play, Lane Kiffin calls a deep route, and Coker throws it away. He gets blasted on the throw. So, you know, a little bit of a miscommunication there in terms of the play call. You know, also the receiver probably wasn't in the right position, and then the offensive line broke down as well. So my point would have been, why not just turn around and hand the ball to Henry? I mean, he thrives in the fourth quarter. He's 6'3", 240 pounds. You can already tell that Ole Miss's defense was getting gassed because they played 90-plus plays. So, you know, at that point, you got to give it to your big feature back and let him go have a quote-unquote Heisman moment for you. But, you know, Lane Kiffin and the offensive staff got a little bit greedy and really put Coker and the offense in a bad position. But going forward, I think they need to just settle on Coker. I think he's the best option that they have. Cooper Bateman, while talented, I just don't know if it's his time yet. And you can just tell that, you know, the players will never admit this publicly, but having two guys rotate in there, you know, you can never really get any, you know, chemistry with the receivers. You can just tell, you know, quarterback's throwing one way, the receiver's running a completely different way. And that comes from chemistry and just sort of knowing where a guy's going to be at before he's even there. One of the things I go back to, A.J. McCarron, guys like Kevin Norwood, or even Blake Sims and Amari Cooper last year, they just always knew if Sims threw it to an area, Cooper was going to be there. And I don't think the quarterbacks and the receivers have that yet.
Yeah, I don't see any of that. And it concerns me even more that we've lost what I think is maybe our top receiver in Robert Foster for the season. So I agree. I felt like, and I think you made a great point, that perhaps not only did we get greedy, I thought we showed some impatience too. 3 minutes is a lot of time. Coker's just scrambled for 26. It looks like we can be methodical at that point. We still had, I think, one timeout left at that point. So I don't know. Is there concern from your standpoint with Kiffin, Saban, identity? And there's been a lot of talk about we're moving into this era where everybody's running 90-plus plays and spreads and how to stop it. And what do you think between Saban's style and Kiffin's style? Is there anything there? I don't want to create controversy, but what is your thinking?
Well, I think they just need to get on the same page. I think you can kind of tell throughout different points in the game where, you know, Kiffin's calling it a certain way and Saban isn't necessarily happy with that. But then Saban comes out in his press conferences and says things like, well, I want to push the ball a little bit more. I want to go a little bit faster. So it's like, okay, so who's really making decisions here? You know, obviously Lane Kiffin is the offensive coordinator and he's calling the game in the game. But then Nick says one thing publicly, which makes you think that they are on the same page. But if you watch him on the sidelines and things like that, there's clearly a little bit of a disconnect there. And going back to your point about getting greedy and being impatient, you know, that's great because it's one of those things where you're watching the game and how it's flowing. Henry had just gassed Ole Miss for a couple runs to drive before, and, you know, you got him just right where you want him. Coker picks up the big run. You know, give him a chance to catch his breath. Give him a chance to settle back down. Hand it off to Henry or Drake or whoever it is in the backfield to, you know, let the game flow a little bit better. You have 2-plus minutes and a timeout, like you said, and it just got really greedy, and it was really weird to see a Nick Saban team kind of go out like that, considering how Nick Saban teams have performed in the past and sort of making teams quit and wearing them down in the fourth quarter. But to take a shot like that at the end of a game was just really a real head scratcher.
Mark, you know, there's been a lot of talk about the dynasty being over, that kind of thing in the national press. I know somebody published a statistic that Alabama is now 4-5 in the last 9 games against top 15 teams. What do you think? I mean, you know, Nick Saban has great recruiting classes. He's a great coach. Where do they stand right now? I mean, in terms of the bigger picture of the program going forward.
Well, you know, a few things there. First is the recruiting classes. Only thing the recruiting, you know, those number one classes, the only thing that does is just help you be in every game. That allows you to hang in every game. It gives you a fighting chance against every team. Because if you think about it, Alabama turns it over 5 times. Ole Miss makes 2 pretty much fluky touchdowns. If you look at the one where the guy tips the pass and runs it in for a touchdown, and then the other one where the lineman is downfield that didn't get called and the defensive back is reading a run play there, and the quarterback throws it over his head. So those are 2 fluky plays on top of 5 turnovers, and Alabama still only got beat by 6. So that's where you see the top recruiting class and the elite level of talent keeping them in the game. But it doesn't necessarily guarantee you that you're going to get all those breaks. So in terms of the dynasty being over, I don't buy that, because if you think about it, you know, just last year they were in the SEC championship and they made it to the first ever playoff. So, I mean, where is the dynasty ended yet? I mean, they lost to Ole Miss last year, still made it to the playoff. It's just going to be a matter of whether or not they can figure out what their offensive identity is. Are they going to be a team that comes out and throws it 40 times, or are they going to lean on Derrick Henry like they should? I mean, he trained all offseason, pushing cars and things like that. I'm sure you guys saw the viral videos and all those types of things. I mean, the guy's he's a monster. I mean, they don't make him like him, you know, 6'3", 240 pounds, who just continue to get stronger as the game goes on. And it is just amazing how many defensive backs – underestimated speed, and he just kind of outruns him. But like I said, I don't think the dynasty's over. It's just more of a matter of getting back on track in terms of the offense. I think the defense is going to be fine. You know, you're going to occasionally give up big plays in the passing game if you got guys like Laquon Treadwell and other guys like that you're going up against. But I think the offense needs to just figure out what they want to do going forward.
Well, you mentioned, you know, the fact Bama lost to Ole Miss last year and made it to the college football playoff. You know, but this year it seems like, you know, because there doesn't seem to be a total identity yet, you know, it's going to be a tougher road after having that loss. What do you think? They got to go to Georgia next week, which, you know, it's going to be a very tough place to play for Bama. Can they do it? I mean, can they do it like they did last year and get back to the SEC title game and get to the playoff?
Well, yeah, I mean, they're definitely going to need some help. I mean, this Ole Miss team does look a little bit better than last year's in terms of I don't see them, you know, dropping two games. I think LSU may get them, but in terms of that second loss, not one jumps out at me. So you're going to need help in that area to get back to the SEC championship. But in terms of Alabama, I guess the one good thing about them is that their run defense is really good, and the two team their two toughest opponents left, Georgia and LSU, really try to run the ball. So if you take strength on strength, I think I like Alabama in both of those matchups. It's just going to be a matter of whether or not can the offense consistently put up points and not put the defense in bad spots. I mean, against Ole Miss, I think the defense had to defend three drives that started at the 26-yard line and end. I mean, no matter how good you are, eventually you're going to give up plays there, you know, even a field goal or a touchdown or something like that. So if the offense and the special teams can get their act together, I think the defense is going to be fine. You know, they got those young defensive backs who are still learning and figuring things out. But I think they'll be fine in terms of the overall big picture. And playing teams like Georgia and LSU, who are ranked in the top 10 ahead of you, if you can get those wins, that's going to vault them back up into, you know, the top five and eventually into the top four.
There is actually a scenario where if three teams tie in the West, Alabama, Ole Miss wouldn't necessarily have to lose two games, would they? Because if, let's say, Alabama beats LSU, LSU beats Ole Miss, you got three teams tying in the West, and then it shifts to different, I think, how they did against what the other division at that point, or how they did against
within division first and then get to the East, or maybe I'm not sure, but I think there are some tiebreakers that take that into consideration.
Yeah, I just know a lot of Bama fans are out there trying to and desperately to find scenarios, but the main thing is that Ole Miss really has to lose two, is the way that and Bama not to lose again, that'd put them in the game, in the championship game.
Well, and I couldn't agree with you more that it's set up for us to make a run, but we've got to win out, right? And so I agree about the quarterback issues, the identity issues on offense. The thing that really frustrated me the most watching the game was their D-line, which clearly is their strength, was absolutely in the backfield just all game long. So our offensive line got no push. And so sticking with Henry made a lot of sense to me too, but is there a play other than a run up the middle with Henry that we could have run that would have done something to get the ball past the line of scrimmage? Because I feel like we weren't doing anything other than running the ball up the middle. And clearly their D-line owned our offensive line. They really did. And that's rare for us to say that a defensive line just owned us. And for at least the first three quarters until they got gassed, they owned us. That defensive line just owned the offensive line. And so what are your thoughts about that and moving forward with outside of the quarterback and receiver issues and turnovers, what about just the core offensive and defensive line and where that work needs to come in to get better?
Yeah, I mean, the offensive line is just one of those things, you know, breaking in three new starters. A lot of those guys are still very green in terms of actual game experience. You know, they get to face Alabama's defensive line in practice, which is obviously a good thing. But, yeah, like you said, for the first three quarters, you know, Robert Kimdichie was living in the backfield.
Gosh,
you know,
I
think I tweeted during the game. I was like, he's going to carry this film with him to the NFL combine.
Absolutely.
And just not even work out. Just say, play that Alabama film and
really,
and make millions of dollars. But you know, as the game went on, that fourth quarter, you could tell these guys were a little gassed, you know, hands on their hips and things like that. And that's when you got to bring out your battering ram. And you got to say, okay, you may have made some plays for those first three quarters, but we're at Alabama. The fourth quarter is our time. And Alabama didn't do that. And that's why I think they ultimately lost the game. I think they'll fix those blocking issues. I think they're solid in the run blocking, but I think they got a little too cute in terms of the play call and things like that. So, like I said, it all goes back to identity. What are you going to do? Are you going to be a power running team? Are you going to try to keep up with the Joneses and be a spread out, up tempo team? You know, what are you going to do on offense? And until they figure that out, you know, not a lot else really matters. At receiver, with Robert Foster going down, he is their most talented receiver in terms of, you know, pure talent. But I think they got some other guys who will be able to step up. Richard Mullaney's, you know, sure-handed guy, and he can make some plays for him. They got to get our Darius Stewart back on track. He seems like a guy who's kind of, You know, I never want to question whether or not a player is giving it 100%, but there's always sort of a disconnect there in terms of where the quarterback is throwing the ball and where he ends up being. So, but you, without actually knowing the play call, you can't say who's in the wrong there, whether it's the quarterback made the wrong read, or maybe he's not getting the signal from the sideline because they are trying different things in terms of getting the play calls in. But if they want to have any success in the passing game, they got to get him back on track. And the freshman, Calvin Ridley, I think he's going to have a strong year. He kind of starting to follow a little bit of that Amari Cooper trend in terms, not the production or anything like that, but in terms of how he's getting his playing time. If you think back to Amari Cooper's freshman year, DeAndre White got hurt, and then that's when Cooper started starting and started making all the big plays. And, you know, you never like to see a guy get hurt, but this could be really his opportunity to really sort of make a splash in terms of, you know, making some big plays as a true freshman.
Mark, you covered him. I know you cover them extensively in fall camp, and you get a chance to see some things that we don't always get to see. But I'm interested. Bo Scarborough will be back soon. What dimension can he play to both the backfield, perhaps an H-back? What do you see Bo doing in this team?
Yeah, you know, he's one of those big guys who also has some wiggle to him. You know, he can make you miss in the backfield. The thing about Henry is, and this is, you know, not me criticizing him or anything like that, it's just what I see. He's a big guy, but if you get a hit on him early, you have a better chance of stopping because his legs are so long. He just needs a little bit more momentum to get going. But once he gets going, you know, he's a low. But Bo, you know, got a little bit more shiftiness to him. He can make you miss in the hole a little bit pretty fast as well. But it's just going to be a matter of whether or not he can be 100%. I think they're definitely going to give him an opportunity at the running back spot, first of all, because I think they like O.J. Howard and some of those guys at tight end and H-back. But I think he's going to get some touches. It's just going to be a matter of whether or not that knee will hold up, because he has some injuries in high school as well. Yeah. So he could be a little bit injury-prone, and that's one of the things you got to watch out for with him going forward. But he'll be back Georgia week. You know, he'll be eligible. The four-game suspension will be over, and he'll be ready to play. So he may be one of those guys that they could lean on with Foster being out in terms of just having another guy who can make some explosive plays, whether it be catching the ball out of backfield or running it.
Today against La Monroe, what do you look for? You know, how tough will that be for Bama? And you know, I know a lot of fans think they're going to go in there and blow them out, but you know, it could be a game for a while. So what do you think?
Yeah, do we use it as another scrimmage like you referenced the MTSU, or do you think we actually see anything this week that we're working on in preparation for next week?
Yeah, I think it'll be more of a, you know, passing exhibition type deal, because you just got to get Coker and these receivers some more opportunities to get on the same page. And also Derrick Henry, you know, Nick Saban said on Wednesday that Derrick Henry had tonsillitis, so he was limited in practice this week. So you definitely don't want to do anything to, you know, put that guy in any type of danger or anything like that. So you want to give him and Kenyon a little bit of a break in terms of, you know, how many reps they take. But you got to get these quarterbacks and the receivers on the same page. And Nick Saban said he's going to start Jake Coker, and I expect that to, you know, be the way it's going to be going forward. It's just a matter of, like I said, I mean, I hate to keep saying the same thing, but eventually you got to figure out what you want to do. You don't want to go into Athens, Georgia, where that crowd is hungry for a win, and they're starting to feel like it could be their year in the East and the SEC overall. You don't want to go in there still scratching your head about what you're going to be doing on offense. So whether or not you play your big guns a lot, you still need to have a plan in place going forward, and you need to know in your mind, hey, this is our identity, this is Alabama football, and this is what we're going to do going forward.
Speaking of Athens, how do you think they're going to do?
I think, like I said, I mean, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, the good thing about Alabama that you can hang your hat on if you're an Alabama fan is that the two toughest teams they have to play, Georgia and LSU, are run-heavy teams. You know, they're going to turn around and give the ball to Nick Chubb for Georgia and Leonard Fournette for LSU. And Alabama's run defense, as much as people want to, you know, talk about how Nick Saban's defenses are down in the last couple of years, they do not give a ton of big plays in the run. I mean, you occasionally gas them or something like that, but for the most part, you know, they're pretty stout. And I think they'll hold up well against Georgia's running game and force their quarterback to beat them. And I don't know if they have enough weapons on the perimeter to beat Alabama.
Yeah, it's
going to be. And, you know, everybody making light across the country that this is the year of no exceptional college quarterbacks. So the SEC seems to be indicative of that, too. Nobody's really – I mean, Prescott is very good, but I don't necessarily know. I mean, that's interesting to me. What is your take on that with quarterbacks in the SEC and across the country? Where are they?
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things where you're breaking in a lot of new guys, and the thing with quarterbacks is not like a bunch of other positions like running back, whereas T.J. Yeldon was a starter the last 2 years, but Derrick Henry was able to get some reps and get a lot of experience, or receiver, where, you know, guys like can get experience and rotate it in. Quarterback, you got one guy, and then when the other guy comes in, you usually hope that the game's over, and he's usually just handing the ball off. So it's not like you're actually able to run the offense and a live games, and no matter how well a guy throws it in practice, you just never know how he's going to do when the bullets are flying or when a pass rusher is 250 pounds and he's breathing down his neck. So I think there are some good ones out there. I really like Josh Rosen from UCLA. Mm-hmm. I think Prescott's really good for Mississippi State. It's just a matter of everybody that he leaned on, like his running game and some other receivers that they had, they left, and he's only got probably Wilson out there on the edge in terms of playmakers. So they have some talented guys throughout the country, but just – maybe not either as good quarterbacks and not enough good playmakers with them, or as good playmakers and inexperienced quarterbacks. So it's a little bit of a catch 22 there.
Let's play pretend here for the rest of the season. Let's say today Alabama pulls it off. We pull out the rest of the season and we're in the SEC championship. Who are we playing in the East? And then who are the other three teams in the playoff once we win the SEC championship? If you had to pick today,
I'd probably say. Excuse me, probably a rematch with Georgia in the SEC title game. I think they're going to win the East. And then in terms of the other playoff teams, right now I'd probably go Ohio State. I just think their schedule is just – no matter how bad they play, I think their schedule is just so easy. I think they'll squeak by Michigan State. I think they'll be up for that game. And
having, Ohio State's playing badly right now. Yeah. There's no two ways about it. Yeah. Michigan State – played lights out.
Yeah, yeah, I think Ohio State will be up for that game, and I think having a guy like Braxton Miller, who you can do so many different things with, right. You know, it's all about having, you know, guys that can just that are just better than everybody else, and that's what Alabama had for much of last year with Amari Cooper, and that's what Ohio State this year with Braxton Miller. So I go Alabama, Ohio State, probably I lean TCU coming out of the Big 12. Mm-hmm. And I like UCLA. I mean, I don't know. I really like the Rosen kid. I mean, he's lighting it up for a true freshman. I think he could push them all the way. And I think Oregon's quarterback, Adams, has a finger. I think that may be an issue going forward for the Ducks. And I think it's UCLA's year out there in the Pac-12.
That's great, man. Thank you so much for the insight, Mark. Thanks for putting up with us when we put you on the spot right there. We appreciate you joining us today. And for all of our listeners, you can follow Mark's updates on Twitter at Mark Burnett. That's at MARQ_BURNETT. We'll be retweeting him out as well. And we'll take another short break here and be right back to take a look at how we did with our picks last week. And upcoming right after that, our picks for the week. So stay with us. Thanks so much, Mark.
Thanks.
Yeah, thanks for being here. Welcome back to Skybox on 90.7 The Capstone. Well, guys, looks like I finished third for the second week in a row, and I'm in third overall, bringing up the rear there. Adam, you've been the most successful fearless picker now for 2 weeks in a row, although George still holds the overall lead. And, George, I see you've got a chart there how we're doing right now.
Yeah, we are. We had a tough week. We took one on the chin for the week. Adam was 11-6. I was 10-7, and Mark went under 500 at 8-9. Yep, and for the season so far, we've picked 59 games. Does it seem like that many games,
that's
guys?
That's a lot of games.
46-13 for yours truly. Adam is only two games back at 44-15, and Mark, by no means are you out of it at 40-19. So overall, we're not doing too bad. But you know, for this past week, guys, we had four games that we all just flat missed, and I think we could all nod our heads and say, you know, wow, Georgia Tech losing to Notre Dame. We all had Georgia Tech. We all had Kentucky over Florida. We all had Southern Cal beating Stanford, which I thought was the upset of the week,
in my opinion.
And then, of course, we had Alabama losing or winning, but they lost to Ole Miss this past week. But where we differed a little bit, interestingly, Mark and I had Duke over Northwestern, and we lost that. So well done to Adam on that one. Adam, you also got us on Miami over Nebraska. You picked well on that.
I watch a lot of Miami football Saturday well, in the ACC.
I think they took it to them early, and then they hung on because Nebraska did make a comeback there. I want to shout out that I did get a couple right. I did go with Memphis over Bowling Green.
It's true. That was crushing.
And,
we got
Memphis coming up in this week's pick, so stay tuned on that one. Coming up for I guess that was from Thursday night. Yeah. So
A tight game, though, because Bowling Green was in the lead for quite a bit there till the fourth quarter.
So. Yep. And then Texas Cal. You know, we're it for an extra point. But you guys were right. I was wrong. Cal beats Texas.
We should just stop picking Texas games.
I need to. Why are they on the big board again this week? I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts?
Our guest pick from last week, Andy Billings, had a huge week, right? He whooped us on those picks, right?
Yes, he did. In fact, Andy was 8-3. He's a clear one game winner over you, Adam, and I was 5-6, and Mark 4-7.
Yep, I know. So tough week for me.
Shout out to Dr. Billings. He did a great job last week, and once again, not too easy to beat the three co-hosts here, right?
Well, let's move into this week.
All right.
Are we ready?
Let's do it.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, in mere minutes, we have BYU and Michigan. I'm going to go with BYU.
You know, I'm taking BYU, too. I think Michigan's a favorite. I've got some questions about BYU's defense, but I just think the magic returns to BYU, and I think the Khakis take another loss.
All right, guys. I'm trying to make up lost ground.
Here we go.
I'm going with Michigan.
Fearless.
Here we go.
I'm going with Michigan. I think Harbaugh's getting his system in a little bit. Yeah. It is home. If that were at BYU, I definitely would not. Yeah. I'd go another way. But because it's in the big house at Michigan, I'm gonna go with the Wolverines.
I think that's a tough game to pick. I agree.
Yeah. Okay. Georgia Tech at Duke.
I think, I went with Georgia Tech last week over Notre Dame, and they really kind of laid an egg and did exactly the opposite of what I said they would do. Both defenses have been relatively strong. I think this is a tough game. Duke losing to Northwestern, Georgia Tech to Notre Dame. I think Georgia Tech is going to get it figured out, and I think they win here at Duke in a relatively close game, but I think they win by 10 points or so.
I'm going with Georgia Tech as well. Mark, what do you think?
I'm the same.
I think, coming off last week, the Notre Dame game, I did think they showed some life late. I think that's going to translate.
Yeah.
The other thing about Duke was, I really expected them to be more wide open against Northwestern. Maybe Northwestern is that good. But either way.
They played a conservative game, right?
Yeah. I just think Georgia Tech's got too many dimensions, and I think they'll win this game.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Yeah. UCF, as our guest picker alludes, does the train wreck that is Central Florida continue? The ball coach gets a win? I think so. I think they win this game at home.
Yeah, I do too. UCF has had a great program in the last few years. Good for them, but they're 0-3, and this is going to be an ugly game all around, and South Carolina pulls it out.
Yeah, I think South Carolina wins this one. This is one the ball coach can handle in his own stadium there this week.
Well, our guest picker had us playing Campbell and Butler, and I know they're about to kick off here in a couple of minutes up in Indiana. And the Camels, what I could read on them, they look good, but I just don't think overcoming the home field advantage that's Butler. I'm going to take the home team here, and I'm going to go with Butler.
I want to pick the Fighting Camels. I do. I think if this game was in Buies Creek, they would have a chance, but they went on the road last week here in the Pioneer Football League, and they lost. And so here – conference game, big game at Butler. I think they take a loss on the road at Butler for sure, unfortunately.
Guys, I'm with you on that one. I thought about the Fighting Camels just because any team with that mascot, come on. I mean,
right?
You got to go with them. But the same thing, they're at Butler. So yeah. I think I got to go with Butler. And it's not a basketball game, but I think Butler pulls this one out.
Okay. As soon as we say it, Oklahoma State's playing at 2:30 on ESPN this afternoon in Austin. I went with Texas as an upset over Cal. Hard to imagine Texas being an upset to win at home. I just can't stay with them again. I am going to take the Cowboys. I'm not convinced this is a top 25 team, but they're probably better than Texas.
When I wrote out my notes, I wrote out that Texas finally gets a decent win because the defense clicks and all this. But when I went to circle a team, I couldn't circle them. I had to pick Oklahoma State. Mm-hmm. So my notes say Texas, but it's Oklahoma State. I think they're going to win. I agree. They're not a top 25 program, but I don't think Texas is a top 40 program right now, and that's sad.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're right. I think Texas has a long way to go, and I think at this point It's a tough pick, really, because it is at Texas. And, and, you know, we've said now for several weeks, I think all of us are pulling for Charlie Strong. But right now he doesn't have the team, and I think Oklahoma State will take that one probably by a touchdown.
I wonder if they have the town. You know, when you say it's at home, you know, and you want to pick the home team, but is the home crowd behind the home team right now? And it doesn't feel like it is, right?
I'm going to tell you right
here
and
now. Starting to splinter.
I don't think it is, and I think this is what scares me about this from a Texas perspective, is that the I'm afraid that the faithful there, the big donors that are in Texas, this is going to be a tough one. Yeah. I think this is one that they really believe they're supposed to win,
right?
And I don't think they will.
And it's going to get ugly.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of ugly, we've got the Tennessee Volunteers in the swamp. I had to take that segue.
Go for it.
Two ugly oranges. I think, as the wonderful Kim Sterrett said, this is one of those games that you hope that they can both lose at 0 or negative 15 and just call it off, but that's not possible. I've got Tennessee going in there and beating them. I think Tennessee's on an upswing, and Florida's drowning themselves. What do you have, Mark?
Yeah, I'm going with Tennessee. I think that it just comes down to who's the better team, regardless of where they're playing, because the Swamp's not intimidating right now, not like it used to be, and I think Tennessee has the better team. And I also think Tennessee is going to be a little bit like last year in that I think they're going to improve as the season goes on. I'm not so sure about Florida, so I'm going with the Vols on that one, and hate to say it, but with their orange.
Well, I'm going to make it a clean sweep. That's five in a row that we've picked all in harmony on, guys. We may start to vary here in a little bit, but I'm going to go with the Vols. I think Butch Jones is the kind of coach that will take the Oklahoma game and build from it, and they will be a tougher team than a team that we've known in the past with Tennessee.
That's
under
unrivaled.
Different coaches.
Right.
I think this is a different identity, a tougher identity. So I'm going to guardedly say watch out for the Vols moving forward.
Yeah.
Louisiana Monroe, Alabama, it's a 38-point spread as of right now. What do you think, guys? I think they may not cover it, but they'll certainly win.
Yeah, I don't think they'll cover it, but they're going to win this game. And I don't think it's going to be that difficult for them. I don't necessarily think it's because they're so fired up after losing the game last week. I think that was such a tough loss that I know the coaches obviously are preaching right now. Don't let don't have a hangover on this game last week. But UL Monroe is a team Alabama should handle easily, and I think they will handle it easily. It will the most interesting thing though will be the play of the quarterbacks after last week. I'm really anxious to see how Coker does again, and also I'm sure Bateman's going to get plenty of playing time.
I agree. I think Bama wins. I don't know if we learn much from the game. I think, you know, what Mark said earlier will be true, that maybe we'll see some quarterback play. I don't think we learn a lot about the team moving forward, but I do think we win pretty easily.
Yeah. Okay, guys. You know, there's a pretty big one out in Southwest, TCU at Texas Tech. George, what do you think?
Well, you know, all the Cliff Kingsbury, Brett Bielema, and, you know, is there going to be any controversy? Gary Patterson doesn't seem to be one that's going to bite on that kind of thing. I do know this could be a very good football game, and I think we talked about it. A lot of points on the board. Is it a trap game? I don't think so. Not for TCU. I think they'll come in there and take care of business. And it may be close going into the fourth quarter, but I think TCU pulls away. I'm going to take the Horned Frogs.
Yeah, Adam.
I have a hard time sometimes, George, remembering what the name of this segment is. Could you remind me again?
It is Fearless Picks, and boy, do I have to remind him every week.
So if you look at the numbers
here
offensive
we go,
and defensively,
folks.
These teams are relatively close. TCU has scraped by in a couple games. Maybe the ending score was a little bigger than it was actually on the field. I'm taking Texas Tech here at home. I think they pull the upset. I think they beat TCU. I think TCU stubs their toe a little early. And I'm going with Texas Tech and that beautiful man coaching that team.
He's a beautiful man.
A very good-looking man.
He literally is a good
Absolutely.
Man.
Well, I can't be that fearless. Even though, you know, Adam, you and I had talked earlier this season, about TCU not being the
I
same
know,
team
I know. I'm trying to
were.
Will it to happen, right?
You may be right. I just I'm not there yet. I think I'm going to go with TCU in this one. I think they'll outlast Texas Tech. We also got a big one in the SEC, Texas A&M at Arkansas. And, George, who you going with Bulema, or are you going with A&M on that?
I think the bleeding continues in Suey Pig land. I know Arkansas, the last thing they want is to play another home game now. But I think they're staring down the barrel of three losses in a row at home, which effectively takes them out of the West equation. Yeah. Now I think it's, stop the bleeding, so to speak. I am all in on Kevin Sumlin. I think the defense is so improved. This is a Texas A&M team that scares me a lot from an Alabama perspective. No chance for Arkansas. And I think this belies that Arkansas will be a limp Razorback coming into Tuscaloosa in a couple of weeks. I'm all in for A&M.
I absolutely agree. I think A&M blasts Arkansas, and I think we're in the exact opposite spot where we were last year. Where last year I was afraid of the A&M game with them coming here and couldn't care less about the Arkansas game, and then it turned out to be the opposite, that we had trouble with Arkansas and we blasted A&M. And this year, I think those Arkansas homecoming tickets are going to be easy to find, and those A&M tickets at College Station are going to be tough to find. So I think A&M is for real this year, absolutely.
I'm with you guys. A&M's going to go in there and I think take care of business pretty not easily, but it's not going to be that close.
Yeah.
And they're going to win that one. Huge one down on the Plains, Mississippi State at Auburn. This is a huge game for both of these teams.
Yeah.
They both have a loss right now, Auburn especially with that pretty horrible loss to LSU last week. George, what who you got?
I'm going to go with Auburn. I think this is a team that can rebound. If they don't, this is a long season approaching for Malzone and Muschamp and company. Sean White, again, I don't know who this guy is. We're going to know a lot more about him tonight. I'm going to go with Auburn in a very close game, perhaps a field goal late.
Like we talked about earlier, I think Auburn's quarterback plays a little better than we think he can. You know, I think he shows up in the first game and plays relatively well, but I think Dax and Mississippi State are too good for him. I think they're going to go down there and win, and I think Auburn's got an actual loss and a spiritual loss on their record already, you know, and so I think they're going to be tough to rally around their new quarterback, and I think they'll last for a couple quarters, maybe two and a half quarters, but I think Mississippi State's too strong for them for four quarters.
Well,
I'm with you on this, Adam. I think Mississippi State wins it. I just think Mississippi State right now is the better team. I mean,
today they are.
I think Auburn's going to get better, but you know, there's no question that Dax got his game going with Mississippi State. I think Auburn, huge question mark in their quarterback situation. And also Auburn's defense has not shown us anything, and I think State can go in there and move the ball on them, and I'm going with them.
So do I qualify as a fearless pick here?
Auburn
at home, you know, slight favorite?
You might.
It's a sad state of affairs when Auburn at home against Mississippi State is a fearless pick. I'm not saying it's not a fearless pick, but I'm saying that says a lot more about Auburn than it does about you, George, right?
Wow. I can get a fearless pick.
All right.
Well, let's try here. Missouri at Kentucky. Are you fearless on this one? This is kind of a – if there's ever a mediocre game that's tough to pick, I think this is it, right?
I don't know, Mark.
Missouri is ranked, right? They're actually ranked?
Yeah. I mean, that debacle against Connecticut withstanding, I guess this is a – you know, I think Gary Pinkel's a great football coach.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with the great football – I don't think Mark Stoops is bad either.
Right.
But I'm going to go with Missouri, and I have no real justification for that. I just think they're going to win because they're good in the East.
Well, I'm going with Kentucky on that one just because it's home. But, you know, Missouri does know how to win SEC East games. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've proven that, and they tend to pull it out. But I've got to go with the home team. I'm taking Kentucky in that one.
And I've got Kentucky as well. I've strangely been on the Kentucky bandwagon because of my love of Mark Stoops. And I think they've at least been tested a little bit this year. And I think Mizzou hasn't really played anybody that's tested them. I think at Kentucky, Kentucky's going to bring home the win. I got a handful of big games out west.
Yeah.
Game day, as George would tell you, our colleagues over there in College Game Day at ESPN will be at Arizona for the UCLA at Arizona game. Who do you guys have?
I'm going with Arizona on that one. I'm not sold on UCLA and Rose.
Right.
I'm not sold on the hype. UCLA's had some trouble. I mean, they've won, and they've got a really good team, I think. But Arizona at home, I'm not going against them. I'm going with Arizona on this one to beat UCLA and kind of end this talk about UCLA being in the Final Four.
Great pick, my friend. That's my good friend Lee Corso would say.
As your close personal professional colleague.
I'm with you. I think Rich Rod out in the desert at night in front of the cameras. I think UCLA with Rosen's coming. I'm not like Mark Avius, our guest, spoke earlier to. I don't think it's quite UCLA's time. Arizona wins tonight.
It's a clean sweep. I think Arizona wins with their fans up all day watching the game day set. Arizona scoring a ton more points. UCLA has played BYU, but really doesn't have much else going for them right now outside of the hype. And so I think Arizona wins. Utah at Oregon in the confusing quarterback bowl. What do you guys think?
Really? Boy.
I'm going to go with Oregon and Ducks on that one. Utah can beat anybody, I think, on the right day, but I think Oregon puts it together. I think Utah will score points on Oregon. Oregon's defense is not great, but I think at home Oregon will just simply outscore them.
This game being in Oregon at night, the frenzy of Ausland Stadium, yes, I think Oregon.
Yeah, I agree, and I think Utah's being too cute with their quarterbacks, and Oregon is as well, but I think Oregon's going to win at home for sure. And finally, the last game that we're going to pick, you've got USC after a big loss at Arizona State. I'm going USC here. I think they recover. I think they make the win, take the win and beat those Sun Devils. What about you, George?
Yeah, I'm going to go. I think Arizona State's a little bit down, and I think this is a game. This is a revenge game, and I think USC gets the win.
I agree. I'm going with USC. I believe they get it together, and I think they're going to have a pretty good season after this.
I do, too. I agree. So we varied on Auburn, Mississippi State, Missouri, Kentucky, and Texas Tech and TCU.
Yep. Well, guys, that'll do it for this week. Want to thank all those out there listening to us today. It's going to be a big day of college football, particularly on campus here with Alabama and Ole Miss. As always, thanks to Terry Siggers, the general manager of 90.7 The Capstone and our producer, and also to Melanie Veering, our wonderful marketing intern. Thanks as well to our guests today, Kim Sterrett and Mark Burnett. And as Charles Osgood is famous for saying, we'll see you on the radio next week. Roll Tide.
Roll Tide.